Today we are going to be discussing meeting Mirtz Hashem the Das Zakenim. So, first of all, it's sometimes a little bit awkward talking about the Das Zakenim and trying to figure out the grammar with which to speak about Das Zakenim. The same problem is found when learning Gemara and discussing the opinion of Tosfos. And you say Tosfos says or Tosfos say. What are you passing out? it's difficult. So the reason for that challenge, and some of you for sure know and some may not, but Tosfos is not there's no person Tosfos. It's not Mr. Tosfos or Rabbi Tosfos more appropriately, but it's neither that. It's Tosfos is a, it will really, I mean, Tosafos are, means like additions, like an annex, something was added on. And the Tosfos, the commentary of the Tosfos commentary, the extra, the additions, is in the Gemara. That's in an addition to whether the text of the Gemara, or as some scholars understand, in addition to the text of Rashi. That we have the commentary of Rashi throughout Shas, and then you have the Tosfos, the additions that are not written by Rashi, but they're written by many other, what are called Balei Tosfos, masters of the Tosfos. In English, they're referred to as the Tosafists, the people who are the rabbis who wrote these Tosfos, these commentaries. So you can say Tosfos says. It could be you're talking about the commentary Tosfos and it says, or you could say Tosfos say, because you mean to say the Balei Tosfos, the masters of the Tosfos, the authors, the many compilers of the Tosfos. So either way is fine. So that is Tosfos on Shas.
Was there one person who compiled?
That's a good question. So people assume that at least in a particular Masechta, you'll have one main Tosafist who compiled that, and some do the studies to try to figure out which one did what. But they often will quote earlier generations of Tosafists. For example, you'll see throughout learning any Tosfos, it'll say and Rabbeinu Tam or Veriom, it'll talk about quote the names of earlier Balei Tosfos. So they were likely not the ones who wrote that particular piece if they're being quoted like that. I guess it's possible. It's possible to say that they, you know, they want to insert their names there. But I think it's probably a later one and. There are those who put in the effort to try to figure out based on styles and other various indicators of which Balei Tosfos. So there are probably I would say over 100 Balei Tosfos could be
a writer's guild maybe or a company that did writing or interpretations. I mean,
like, yes,
or a yeshiva maybe.
Yes, so more likely yeshiva or a branch of yeshivos. They weren't all located in the same location. They're primarily based out of France and Germany. There were some other countries that also had them, but and the original Balei Tosfos were all of the yeshiva of Rashi. So they were all the sons-in-law, grandchildren, students, and grandstudents of Rashi.
What years were these?
So from the 11th to 13th century are the early Balei Tosfos. So from around the time of close to the end of Rashi's life, and Rashi died somewhere in the early 1100s.
So is it still in business at all today?
No, the Balei Tosfos are still in business, but they're not producing any new, right? We still learn Tosfos all the time, but so it's definitely still in business. But the early Balei Tosfos were to the end of the 13th century, but then there are some, commentaries of Tosfos that extended in later generations, even to the 15th century, and that would still be considered the Balei Tosfos.
When they wrote this, did they have to come into uniform agreement for all the Tosfos branches, or did each person writing have a different opinion that could get published?
I think somewhere in between, though, closer to the latter. I think that, I don't know if they passed it around to all the Tosfos yeshivas. I don't know how much they were all in touch with each other.
Because there wasn't email back then, so I
might. Right, no, they use WhatsApp, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the basic of the Balei Tosfos. There are some particularly famous ones. We mentioned quite a few weeks ago when we met Rashbam. So we had gotten into a little bit of discussion about Rashbam. So the very early Bali Tosfos. So there's someone in the Ram who's Rav Meir ben Shmuel, not to be confused with his son, Rav Shmuel ben Meir, named for his father, who is the Rashbam whom we met. Rav Meir ben Shmuel married one of Rashi's daughters. The Rivan is also Rav Yehuda ben Nasan, I believe. He was also one of the sons-in-law of Rashi. He was a very, very early one. The Ram's son, Rav Meir ben Shmuel's sons, he had the Rivam and Rabbeinu Tam and Rashbam, and those are all particularly famous. Rabbeinu Tam probably gets, I would say more shout-outs than either the most shout-outs or like top two of names mentioned in Tosos. The other would be the Ri Hazaken, who was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam and a great-grandson of Rashi. I don't remember exactly how, but I don't think it was through the line of the Rabbeinu Tam was from, but he was a great-grandson of Rashi. That's the Ri Hazaken, the elder Ri, not to be confused with the things of the Ri HaBachor, which was a different Ri who was also a Baal Tosos, not to be confused with the Ri Bachor Shor, also known as the Rivash, who is a different, you know, it's hard. I mean, you know, like there's a lot of Yud names and a lot of Yitzchaks and Yosefs and Yehudas and then rabbis, the Reish. So it's hard. You have a lot of Ris. The Ri Bachor Shor actually is a Baal Tosfos who has his own separate commentary. It's not one of the commentaries that you'll find in a typical Mikros Gedolos Chumash, the Ri Bachor Shor, but you can find it now. It could be we didn't have access to it for a while, or it wasn't, but I think it's become more popularized recently. The Ri Bachor Shor, and he's very, very pshat based. And actually, we'll see Das Kanim draws from the Ri Bachor Shor a lot. Okay, so those are some of the more well known Balei Tosfos that we'll see. Now, why am I talking about Tosfos? I thought this was on Das Kanim. Okay, because Das Kanim literally means the knowledge of the elders. And Das Kanim is one of the commentaries that is based on the teachings of the Balei Tosfos of the Gemara. There's actually at least two others that I'm familiar with. There's something called the Hadar Zakenim and the Moshav Zakenim, which are also, right? So I think if you hear a sefer and it ends with Zakenim, I think it's a good chance that it's from the Balei Tosfos. There's a lot of overlap, at least in the Hadar Zakenim and Das Zakenim. Das Zakenim is definitely the most famous. Das Zakenim doesn't make it into every Mikros Gedolos Chumash. In the Mikros Gedolos Chumash, you'll always see Rashi, Unklus, of course, Ramban, Ibn Ezra, they always make it, Kliyakar, and Das Kanim is in a lot of Mikros Gedolos Chumashim and it's left out of a lot. So Das Kanim is one's kind of on the border.
So they're a part of the Tosfos or an offshoot of the Tosfos?
So they're the opinions of the Balei Tosfos, meaning I don't really know. I tried to do research. I don't know when exactly it was written. I think it was published relatively recently, or at least why it's relative, meaning like last few hundred years as opposed to 700-800 years ago, like maybe. But you see it draws on the Balei Tosfos, so it's going to be quoting quoting a lot of Ri Bachor Shor, quoting a lot of occasionally the Riva, the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam. So it's quoting the Balei Tosfos. It's referred to as Das Kanim. Mehabali Balei Tosfos. That's how it's referred to. I don't know exactly the exact timeline of when Das Kanim came out.
Rashi is a comment on the Chumash and the Torah and the Tanakh. And then the Tosfos are comments on Rashi, and now the Das Kanim are comments on the Tosfos.
Well, Das Kanim, it's the opinions of the Balei Tosfos. So it's essentially like the commentary of the Tosfos itself, which is, there are certain rabbis from certain schools of thought that are basically from Rashi's school of thought, and that they have a commentary on the Chumash. Sorry, they have a commentary on the Gemara called what we refer to as Tosfos. And then those same rabbis, written by maybe somebody a little later, but those same rabbis also have opinions on the Chumash. So it's basically the Tosfos of the Chumash by the same rabbis. though it could be it was written a little bit later on. I'm not so clear about. I mean, the opinions are earlier opinions, but it could be they were compiled a little bit later on. That I don't have clarity on. So that's the background of the Das Kingdom, and you'll see there's a lot of overlap between the comments of the Das Kingdom and the comments of the associated parallel Gemaras within the commentary of Tosfos. Meaning, you know, Rashi quotes Gemaras all the time in Chumash. Rashi and Chumash quotes the Gemara all the time. If you go to wherever Rashi quotes, he's commenting on a certain passage in the Torah, if you go to Rashi's source, that Gemara that he's quoting, and you see the comment of Tosfos there, and then you go back to the Chumash and you see the Das Kingdom there, if there's a comment of Das Kingdom there, there's often a lot of overlap. Sometimes it's a little bit inverted. Sometimes Tosfos and the Gemara asks the question, gives the answer, and sometimes Das Kingdom just assumes you ask the question and gives the answer. Sometimes it gives the answers out of order. Sometimes it quotes what we saw in Tosfos and the Gemara. It quotes that and then asks a question on it and then answers it. So there is a lot of overlap in the discussion when you see the Das Kingdom and the Tosfos side by side. Let's take a look. So that's outside of Das Kingdom. Let's take a look inside. A few comments. We'll start off with some comments in this week's Parsha, as we try to do. So you just have something to think about of the Parsha throughout the week, and maybe something to share if something's particularly inspiring. And then at the end, if we have time, we'll do a couple more that are not from this Parsha. So taking us started with this, right? Mazel Tov and the Siyam and Sefer Vayikra, everybody. Chazak, Chazak, and this Chazak. So let's start Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar. Su'u es rosh kol das b'nei Yisrael, mishpachosam, leveis avosam. Raise the head of all of the whole congregation of the children of Israel, according to their families and according to their fathers' houses. Mismar shemos kol zachar l'gugel osam. The number of the names, every male, according to their head count. So that is what we're going to see in this week's Parsha. Lots of numbers, lots of counting, a census. And Das Kingdom starts off, Omar Harav Bechor Shor, the Rabbi Bechor Shor, who is the Re Bechor Shor, says, Ki Ali De Bekala Gogoles, Kitisa De Kisisa, No De Klalam, De Kol Yisrael, Biachad. Right? It says that because the head count, the collection of Machzor Shekel that happened in Parshas Kisisa, which was a while ago, right? That was close to the end of Sefer Shamos. So that was to klalam to include all of the Yisrael Be'acha together. Yisiv Hasam l'sheish meos, because over there it gives like a grand total. There are 600. Okay. V'chan matzino kol shevet v'shevet. But over here, Parshas Bamidbar, we find every tribe, every single tribe, degel b'fnei atzmo, each. Degel, we usually translate as a flag or a banner, but it means like a formation that, and each one had a banner, but a formation in the desert. There are four degelim, the 12 tribes were split into four groups of how many tribes each? That's my thank you, doctor. Yes, we needed the help over there. So three in each one, and these are these tribal formations, the degelim. Because it says that by their families, by their father's houses. Uba Arvos Moav, and in the plains of Moav, which is later on, Parshas Pinchas, Modes Anoladim, it counts those who are born, Me Elu, from these, some of Laknisala Eretz, close to when they actually enter the land, Kibahem, Lohaya Ish Mipkude Moshe Aaron, because this count was much later on. It was about 39 years later, after the Chet HaMeraglim, after everyone died in the desert, and they were not. So these people who were counted in Parshas Pinchas are not among those who were counted by Moshe and Aaron. So what is the Re Bechor Shor? What question is he? He didn't ask a question explicitly, but what question is he trying to address? Excellent, right? We see multiple censuses, right? And we have to come to our census already. Well, why are we counting in Kisisa? We count again in Bamidbar. We're going to count again later in the Sefer in Pinchas. So the Re Bechor Shor dissects, says, well, let me tell you. The first one in Parshas Kisisa, that's when it's trying to count them all together. And then we count them later on in this week's parsha by Shevet by Shevet individuals, and then we count them again, Parshas Pinchas, because that's a new group. So that's where we need a new census when we're going to be entering the land and we're going to be apportioning the land to everybody. So we do a new count then. So that's what the Reba Choshor is trying to address. The Parish of Das HaKenim is trying to address that question on the text. I think we have to clarify a point, which is it makes a lot of sense. Separating the first two from the third is very clear, right? It's a different group of people. You need a new census. That makes sense. The first two, what's the difference? What's the significance of that piece? First we count them all as a klal, right? The expression used is no de klalam de kol Yisrael biyachad. It's making known the cohesive unit of the Jewish people, and because it gives us this count of 600,000, and then later on, we do the same exact people are being counted in our parsha, but kol shevet v'shevet degel b'fnei atzmo. Each one is by itself. Why did that, according to Reba Choshor, why does that require a separate count? Right. This is not the classic answer of course, yeah, it's the same people. We don't need another count. It's just to demonstrate Hashem's love for the Jewish people, which is a beautiful answer and it's true. But this is taking a different approach. This is saying no. It was necessary because the first one is this unit. The second one is this, by tribe. So perhaps we can suggest that it's showing the significance and the importance of a tzibor, of the rabbim, of the community, and of the yachid, of the individual, and that both of these are very important. The way, just using the framework of the Reba Choshor, the first one is more of the everyone being a unit. Even though over there they're not counted by families, but he sees that that's counted by it, right? It's everyone together, as opposed to there's some more division and specificity when it comes to the second count. You're by tribe. This is your right. Meaning it's not just everyone's a bunch of separate people. It's you are gathered into your tribe, and your tribe is gathered into the degel, and the degel into the entire nation. So everyone has a specific role. So we have this tzibor versus the yachid, the dichotomy of achdus, of unity, and everyone taking individual achrayas. And that's not a contradiction. It's not a contradiction to have such a thing, right? Where we all feel united, but if everybody wants to be the gabbai, right? And everybody wants to be the chazan, and everybody wants to be the rabbi, and everyone wants to be the Baal Kriya. So then we have trouble in our kahila. That's a big problem. You can't have such a thing, right? If everybody wants to be a doctor, so we don't have any plumbers. So, you know, the human plumbing is working, but the plumbing in the house is never. You have some issues, right? You need everyone to have a certain role, but you can still feel unity. You can still feel that achdus. So for everyone to say we are one kahila, and he's the bakriya, and he's the rav, and he's he's the Sunday morning guest speaker, and everyone has a role, but we feel united. That's what's a beautiful thing.
What you're saying about Amrayas is yeah. The tragedy of the commons, the free ridership attitude. If everybody thinks so, there's a big movement.
Right. You need this balance of the individual achrayas balanced by the achdus, and that's what we see over here, that you see the whole entire nation. It's one nation, particularly by Kisisa, which is right around Matan Torah, right? And of course, we're again from some more Shavuos prep. We know that the pasuk says Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahar. And Chazal said, "Ki ish echad b'lev echad." We had this incredible unity, and we needed to. By the way, you know, when we say "Naaseh v'nishma," right? We will do and we will hear. That's a really hard thing to say. We will. How do you know? Right? There's a joke about like three logicians walk into a bar, right? Experts in logic. They walk into a bar, and the bartender says, "Would you all like a drink?" And the first one says, "I don't know," and the second one says, "I don't know." And the third one says, "Yes, please. Thank you very much." Right, because the first guy right? The first guy didn't know because he said, "Would you all like a drink?" So the second guy also. The third guy, he realized because the first two, if they wouldn't like a drink, then the answer was already no. So the fact that they all said no, we don't know, indicated that the answer was yes for each of them, and he knew for him. So then we would all like a drink, right? So yes. So anyway, how can we say Na'aseh v'nishma to be united like that? We will do. Yeah, we got it. Who are you signing me up? I didn't sign up for this. to wake up at Zman Kriyashma. I'm signing up for Zman Kriyashma. Every morning, there's no more oversleeping left in my life. What? No, I didn't sign up for that. But we all did it because we were united. So we can answer Na'aseh v'nishma. Yeah. Yeah, perfect. You know, it's always a question I had on musicals. It's just if you try to follow the storyline of, try to suspend your disbelief in any musical, anything, and then everyone starts breaking into song together. You're not able to suspend the disbelief anymore. It's okay, this is great. So, but it makes me think about this is actually a Gemara discussion about Az Yashir. How exactly Az Yashir went about? Did they? Wasn't a rehearsal? Were they all singing together? Was it all nevuah? Was it responsive? So that's a whole discussion there. So Na'aseh v'nishma, they were united, but they didn't lose their individual roles. Tribally, degel wise, there was this balance, and it could be that's what the Rebbe Chorashor is getting at, that there's a great value to the count of every single Jew so that they're part of the whole, but also to divide them in a more specific way, and then of course have a new count for the new generation. Okay, let's go to the next comment over here. I summarized a lot. But just to, I highlight some of the differences. Vayu b'nei Reuven, b'chor Yisrael, said the children of Reuven, says shemos legugulo sum to count, do the head count of them. My Rebbe, I don't know if I should quote him by name if I forgot what I'm about to say in his name, but he said how exactly did they figure out the number of how many there were. So he said they Googled them, like the Google of some. Oh. So yeah, sorry, so I'm not going to call my Rebbe's name. So Livne, and then it says Google of some. Livne Shimon, Tobo Sam, Mishmach Sam. Again, Livne Shavah Sam, Peguda, Bimisvar Shemos, the Google of some. And then I just gave two more for you. Livne Gud doesn't say the Google of some. Livne Yehuda does not say the Google of some. None of the other tribes that say Lugugul Osam. Maybe because someone made the joke earlier on, and they're just like, hey, we're not quoting that one anymore. So the Dasa Kingdom says, Lama Nemar Lugugul Osam Beruven Vishimon, Yosem Mikol Shar Hashvatim. Why special for them? Lufi Shekantran Yaakov Kasher Beirach Banav. That because Yaakov cursed them, rebuked them when he was blessing his sons, Vehutzerchu Lechapara. And therefore, they required a kapara. They required an atonement. V'gabe shkalim abayim lekapara k'siv beka lagolgoles. And regarding the shkalim that come for a kapara, as the Parshas Kitisa mentions, that's beka lagolgoles. It's a beka is a half shekel lagolgoles per head. So there's some sort of kapara associated with machzor shekel. It's meant and specifically there mentions the word lagolgoles. So over here by Reuven and Shimon, who clearly needed this kapara, so the word Google some hints to that they required a kapara more than everywhere else. Why them? Because they were the ones that didn't have the full blessing on Yaakov's deathbed. There's a discussion there of who was everybody blessed? Were they excluded? But definitely, if you see the simple reading of the psukim, what Yaakov says to Reuven and Shimon, they have it rough. Anybody have any question on this? Okay, good. Right, sorry. So that was my question too. Right, Rosa Kivanti, I figured out your question. So Levi also they had it pretty bad. But then again, Levi over here is a completely different story, right? They're not included in this, and I believe this idea is based on Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch at the beginning of Shemos, that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, they all received Musar, and Shimon and Levi actually received group Musar from Yaakov Avinu. They have the same exact rebuke. It's Shimon and Levi Achim. They're Achim, they're brothers, and they have the same exact rebuke. And then as you continue the storyline of of Chumash. So Levi changes its course of life, changes its course, right? And we see right away at the beginning of Shemos, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, Vayikach es bas Levi. We see a man from the house of Levi takes the daughter of Levi. Of course, they produce Aaron, Moshe, Miriam, all the Kohanim, all the Levim come from them, that Levi, more than Shimon, was able to take the Mussar to heart and use them, and particularly use those midos that Yaakov said that could be that were used negatively, to use them and use that passion and use it to serve Hashem. And especially by Chetah Egel, the Levim did not take part in the Chetah Egel. They stepped up and avenged God because of the Chetah Egel, and that's why they're. That's part of why they're not included in the count here. So they didn't. So I would say to add to the Das Akenim, or to clarify that point of the Das Akenim, what about Levi? Levi was also rebuked, but Levi earned the kapara in a different way. And Reuven and Shimon are left requiring this Gulgolas for them. Hey, we'll do a little more. Eila told us Aaron and Moshe biyom diber Hashem es Moshe bahar Sinai. These are the descendants of Aaron and Moshe, the children of Aaron and Moshe, the day Hashem spoke to them at Har Sinai. So, Das Akenim says, Das Akenim says, Kolomar haKohanim vahaLeviim. It means to say the Kohanim and the Leviim. Right. It's strange because it proceeds to explain. The psukim, if you read them inside, sorry, I can quote more text for you. It lists Aaron's sons, and then it goes on to do the count, but it lists Aaron's sons over here. So what it means is that the descendants of Aaron and Moshe are the Kohanim and Levim, respectively. Umone b'nei Aaron techila levadam, and first it mentions the children of Aaron first by themselves. Kiksiv in accordance with the pasuk, vayavdel Aaron lahakrisho. Aaron, as it says, Aaron was separated to be sanctified. Ubnei Moshe, but the children of Moshe, lo nivdu l'min ha-Levim, the descendants of Moshe were not separated from the Levim to be their own class. Ulkach told us somehain b'chla Levim she'etzu me'amram. Therefore, his children were Levim, just like he was, and just like his father was. They're all from Levi, but Aaron was separated, so Aaron gets a special. His children get a special shout out over here.
Yeah, but Moshe isn't all the other Levim, as you're saying, right? There's Aaron, the Kohanim, but there were there Moshe and other among the Levim,
yes,
other descendants of Levi. So why say he would tell them Aaron the Moshe?
Oh, okay. All right. So you know what? So I think this is a very good question. Right. So it's a very good question. I think it could be associated with a different point that Rashi quotes at the beginning of Sefer Shemos, where it says that Vayaslahem Batim, that Paro made for Yocheved and, or Shifra and Pura, Yocheved and Miriam, made them houses. And the question is, what does it mean, made them houses? Who's the them, right? I think it's Rashbam who says that that Paro put them under house arrest. He made them little houses so he could keep an eye on them. There's an opinion that he made houses for the children that were saved. He provided homes for them. But Rashi is quoting Gemara and I think so too also. That according to Gemara that says that what did he give? It was base Kahuna and base. And base Levia to Yocheved, and base Malchus kingship to Miriam's descendants. So and where we see base Kahuna, base Levia. So Kahuna comes from Aaron, and Levia comes from Moshe. But it's strange because the base Levia wasn't given to Yocheved. She was the daughter of Levi, but she had brothers. She had three brothers who were all the other Levia. In fact, her husband Amram was from one of the other Levim. So what's going on here? So I'm just saying I'm not fully answering the question. I'm just saying it's an associated question. But it seems that the house of Levi and its prominent status has a lot to do with Yocheved and Moshe in particular. That's what it would seem to be. Okay, let's do one more comment, and then we'll see how we do. V'lakachta chameshes shkolim l'gogoles, and you shall take five by five shkolim for Gogolas, Beshek, Alakodesh, Tikach, Esrim, Gera, Hashaka. And so it's talking about the idea, the mitzvah of Pidyon, Pidyon HaBen. I'm here to show my my sister's making one in Tuesday night. So Father Rock, we'll have to talk about Tuesday night. But it's a perfect timing for this week's parsha. So it says, V'chein Ladoros is actually a mitzvah of the redemption of the Bechor is for all generations. V'im Tomar, and now that's a very Tosfos word. We see a lot throughout Tosfos in the Gemara. V'im Tomar, if you're going to ask, B'pnei Mahalavim Einan Podim Bechoroseyen Hanoladim Mikan Laba, why do Levim, right, we know, Pidyon HaBen, it's rare. You know, you don't come by a Pidyon HaBen very often. Not only does it have to be a natural birth, but the father and mother cannot be a Levi or Kohen or Bas Levi or Bas Kohen. So why don't Levim still do it nowadays? Mekan Laba, Kamosha Bechoros Yisrael Podim Bechoroseim, just like Bechorim redeem just like Yisrael redeemed their Bechor. V'yesh Lomar, this is always or often almost always a Tosfos answers a question. V'yesh Lomar that you can answer Dechol Halevim Hanoladim Heim Me'elu, because all Levim come directly from these Levim. So the redemption was transferred, right? When a Levi, because he comes from his great 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 grandfather was a Levi who was transferred. He was exchanged for the Bechor, and so we, you know, that's what's happening here. Aval haBechoro shel Yisrael, but the Bechor of Yisrael einam noldim min haBechoros. Firstborn is not necessarily born to a firstborn, right? I'm a firstborn. My father is not a firstborn. And my son, my oldest son, is not a firstborn. My daughter is. So, it doesn't always work like that. I don't know exactly what the statistics are about firstborns being born to firstborns. But for firstborn boys being born to firstborn boys. There's always a firstborn born to firstborn. But I don't know exactly what the statistics are. But it's definitely not a guarantee. So therefore, it's not automatically transferred. Ela mikol Yisrael shalonifdu va'osam hanoldim and abacharos einan yiduin, and we therefore when we don't know who comes from which before. L'fikach tiva kadosh baruch livdos and kol abacharos shenoldim mikan laba. Therefore, Hashem arranged that you redeem all bacharos that are born from here on in, that no matter what. Now, you can ask the question. Well, the whole thing is a suffix? Like, what if you actually are born from a Bechor, right? If you're a Bechor and you're born from a Bechor, then maybe you can just say it was transferred. Or maybe, let's say we had exact lineage, we knew for sure. But it could be we can even say that the transfer only takes place by Levium, because Levium by definition come one after another. Bechor doesn't. So the redemption would not transfer. Even if technically, let's say, if it was certainly true that a Bechor, son of a Bechor, son of a Bechor, son of a Bechor, son of a Bechor, even if it would be technically true, that you would think he wouldn't need a redemption, but it could be the redemption doesn't transfer that way because being a firstborn is not something that's passed on. Being a Levi is passed on to the next generation. Being a Bechor is not. We have a couple more minutes. Here we go. Two more minutes. Okay. So let's do this daskin over here. I didn't even quote the pasuk for you, but basically Rashi, this is in Parshas Va'era, talking about the kinim. Why is it? It's a it's a reference to that. It's from Vayechi. That Yaakov wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. One of the reasons given is that he is going to, he doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim because that's where the dust is going to turn into kinim, lice, and he doesn't want to be part of that. So the dust came over here, quotes Rashi, Masha perish Rashi, Lefish Asilios Afar Eretz Mitzrayim, kinim, lo nehirali. It's not so clear to me. Right? So look, and also notice it's written in singular first person, li. So it's one particular author writing it. Demizel lo hayalo lira dahashta binyamin beno lo shaltabarima. He's quoting, and also in common Toso style, quoting a Gemara from elsewhere that said, right, Rashi is I heard the mushal for Rashi and Tosos. Rashi is a play by play commentator, and Tosos is the color commentator. that Rashi's just trying to help you get through that particular Gemara, the local Gemara, and Tosos is the one that's often going to say, hey, but this is in conflict with a different Gemara over here, and tries to enlighten both Gemaras through an interpretation. So Tosos often does that, and this is what the Bala Tosos and Dasakina are doing here. I say, hold on, we know a source elsewhere that says that Binyamin, the son of Yaakov, that Rima, that worms will not ruin his body or anything like that. So Kol Shekein Aviv, for sure, his father. Imlo Nemar Shezeh Lo Haya. So it's strange that Yaakov would be concerned about the lice if even his son Binyamin was not touched by worms or anything like that. So then it says Imlo Nemar. If you don't say Shezeh Lo Haya Yaakov Yodea, unless you say that Yaakov didn't know about this. Maybe Yaakov didn't know that his body would be fine. So he was concerned. So he was concerned in vain, but he was concerned. So that's what says. We're not thrilled with the Pshat Rashi, but this is what you might have to say. This is Va'omer Rabbeinu Tam. Shai Yori Shalo Yinatzlu Mitzrayim Me'eser Makos Bavuro, that you should not be afraid. He was afraid. He didn't want the Egyptians to be spared from the ten makos because of him. And be covered with Mitzrayim, if he'd be in the merit of him being buried in Mitzrayim. Shahare Nikra Yisrael Sefizura Umitzrayim Nikraim Chamorim. Because we know that Klal Yisrael is called a Sefizura, like a lost, scattered out sheep. And Mitzrayim are called chamorim. They're called donkeys. Shneimar asher basar chamorim b'saram, that their flesh is the flesh of donkeys. It's talking about some probably some sexual impurity of them. But they're referred to as donkeys, the Egyptians, and the Jewish people are referred to as a sheep. And he says viksiv, and the pasuk says peter chamor tifde b'seh, by the mitzvah of peter chamor, that you redeem a donkey with a sheep. So he didn't want to fulfill that of being the sheep that would redeem the donkey, the Egyptians, by his body being buried in Mitzrayim. So that's a different reason, I think Rashi quotes three reasons. This is the fourth reason. He didn't want his body to be a merit for to protect the Egyptians.
Okay.
This is a very interesting comment over here. A lot of it is unclear, but he wrote in this last comment of the Dasa Kingdom, he discusses the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav, right? The simon that Rabbi Yehuda gives in the Haggadah. Why do we need a simon? We should already know Tzach Hadash Ba'achav. We know the ten makos. Why do you need a simon for that? So he gives the Dasa Kingdom over here gives a few different answers. One, it has a nice remez over here with a gematria, and it quotes Rav Yitzchak Bereash Asher, Rav Asher Shanolad Bayom Shnifter Rav Yitzchak Bar Asher, that there's the Riva, who is named after the Riva, and he was born on the day that he died, so they named him the Riva after him. It was one of the Bali Tosos, and gives some interesting answers. I actually have a shir online, a very short shir on Yitoto that discusses this particular Dasa Kingdom. It's like probably about 5-10 minutes. So maybe Shal Baruch, if you want to send it out, so if you still won't take the time here, but it's interesting. You want to see it inside and to take a listen. But Baruch Hashem, I'm happy we got the opportunity to meet the Dasa Kingdom.